Hey everybody, Stephen Paul Matsumoto with Juno's Liquor. Welcome to If You Juno's, You Know. On this episode, we are going to talk about a premium rum out of St. Kitts in the Caribbean. We're going to introduce you to a simple two-ingredient cocktail, and then I'm going to dive into what it takes to run a liquor store in Texas. Thank you for joining. Don't forget to like and ring the notification bell on YouTube and subscribe on iTunes and Shopify. Hey everybody, Stephen Paul Matsumoto with Juno's Liquor. Thank you again for joining us on If You Juno's, You Know. It's time to meet the makers. I've got Philip Madden here with Opeachy, who is the distributor of Brinley Gold Shipwreck Rum. Philip, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, pleasure to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Opeachy? Because I know you have Brinley Gold, but you have a lot of other premium brands as well in your portfolio. So what else do you guys carry other than the rum?
Yeah, that's correct. So the Opeachy family is a 100-year-old company in the distribution business, just over 100 years. Began in the Northeast, still run distribution operations in six states up there, and then created along the lines the Opeachy Wine and Spirits Import Company, which allowed the family to take their portfolio and distribute across the country. The portfolio includes mostly Italian wines that I, at the end of Opeachy, might hint to that.
Yeah.
So Italian wines, we've got a little bit of Spanish, we've got a little bit of South America, and then we do some spirits as well.
Outstanding. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Brinley Gold Shipwreck Rum. Now, I understand they're out of St. Kitts, and the brand's actually named for a sunken British vessel off of St. Kitts.
That's correct. About 1792, I believe, there was a British shipwreck. And Brinley started the rum company as just the St. Kitts Rum Company. And then when the brand came along, that's when the identity and the branding was tied to the shipwreck.
There we go. Outstanding. So tell us a little bit about what we've got here. We've got quite a few different variants here. Of course, I'm a huge spiced rum fan. What different types of rums does Brinley Gold offer? What really drives their passion? Tell us more about like their brand identity and why they do what they do.
Okay, well, I'll back up and give you a little company history. So the Brinleys are from the Northeast United States, but Bob Brinley set up a semiconductor business on the island of St. Kitts in 1986. And by the 2000s, that business had, the internet had gone wild and the business had dried up. And that was an abandoned distillery, rum distillery that the Rothschild family owned, that they were making their cane spirit rum from. So that wrapped up in 96. So Bob and young son Zach at the time said, let's start a rum company, recognized that there was a gap in the rum business because young Zach was in college and recognized what his friends were drinking, and it wasn't the best product out there. And thus, the St. Kitts Rum Company was born with the distillery purchase in 2002.
Okay.
And they began with their lone product, the vanilla rum, and began selling it at their rum shop on the island. And garnered some cruise ship business, and then in about 2005 started expanding the line with mango and the coconut.
Okay.
And it kind of took off from there. And then in 2011 the spiced, as you mentioned, was launched. And in 2013, knowing of the Opeachy family company from their heritage up north, the Brinleys contacted the Opeachys, and we began importing in 2013. And here we are today.
Outstanding. Very cool. Well, you know, it's like in this day and age, you know, a lot of consumers are very mindful of brands that have a social conscience or a social mission. When I was prepping for today's podcast, it's like I noticed that the family has a fondness for sea turtles.
Yeah, that's correct. So for every case of the Brinley rum sold, the family makes a donation to the St. Kitts Sea Turtle Monitoring Network.
Okay.
So a good cause marketing. We're all cognizant of the fact that the sea turtles get caught up in nets and their reproduction. While they have a lot of baby sea turtles, the survival rate is extremely low.
It's like, I saw that, and it is definitely a law of averages. It's like for every 1,000 born, only a handful survive.
Yeah, and just a majestic prehistoric creature that needs to be preserved. So that's the cause marketing the Brinleys are behind.
Awesome. Well, what's next for Brinley Gold? It's like, do they have anything in the pipeline that we should be keeping an eye out for?
So as we go along, it's interesting. The latest members of the lineup are the lime and the coffee. You know, a lot of people are making espresso martinis and that kind of thing. Well, you can add a rum in your espresso martini, and we have a coffee flavored rum for that. Very good. The products used in the Brinleys are Brazilian mangoes and Madagascar vanilla, Brazilian coffee, Caribbean coconut. So authentic ingredients, and the base is pure Caribbean blackstrap molasses made from sugar cane. So,
okay, awesome. Well, we'll definitely have to try to arrange another tasting at the store sometime here in the future. Then I'll get my pirate buddy to come in and do the tasting again, like we did last time.
Sounds fun. Let's do it.
Outstanding. Awesome. Well, stay tuned, everybody. We've got a gorgeous, beautiful, simple two ingredient rum based cocktail coming up. Everybody, welcome back. And now Philip is going to demonstrate how to make the 93, a Brinley Gold signature cocktail made with their coconut cream rum and their vanilla rum. So Philip, take it away.
All right. So a new cocktail that was named after our recent ratings in the Wine Spectator on these two products. They both scored 93. And this is the 93er. So it's going to be one part vanilla rum, 1.5 parts coconut rum cream. And we're gonna mix and shake and then garnish with a little, pour over ice and garnish with a little bit of toasted coconut and or vanilla bean.
Outstanding. All right, Philip, take it away.
All right, we're gonna make the 93er today. So this is an in-house cocktail that we've come up with. It's based on the fact that both of the products, the vanilla rum and the coconut rum cream, both scored 93 points with the critics. And we're going to make a simple two-ingredient cocktail, shake, pour over ice, and garnish with a little bit of toasted coconut and or crumbled vanilla bean. So let's get started. So the drink is 1 part vanilla rum, 1.5 parts coconut rum cream. We're going to make 2 5-ounce cocktails. So we're going to use 4 ounces of the vanilla rum, 6 ounces of the rum cream.
Now, I've always wondered how rum creams remain shelf stable. How do you guys do that?
So interesting that we take rum, transport it to a dairy farm in upstate New York, have it blended, and then it's a pasteurized product, and then of course the rum helps stabilize.
There
the
you go.
Okay.
That smells so good.
And then we'll garnish with a little a few coconut
we'll get
flakes.
That out of you.
And we'll garnish this with a few vanilla bean crumbs. And for good measure, a little colorful.
Got to use the tropical umbrellas.
Tropical umbrella. And it is springtime and beach season.
There we go. Philip, thank you so much. Cheers, everyone. I hope you get to try this at home. Don't forget, everything you see here, you can find at Juno's Liquor in Arlington, Texas. Coming soon to Irving. Hey folks, Stephen Paul Matsumoto here with Juno's Liquor. Just wanted to let you know that we have recently rolled out a special order process. So if you have a large party or event, please ask us and we can help you plan how much you're going to need for that event. We've got a great party calculator. You tell us how many people, how long the party is, and we'll tell you how much wine, spirits, and beer you're going to need for that party. And then we can special order anything that we don't currently have in the store. We just get a small deposit on one of our gift cards to make sure you're coming back for it. But anyway, we want to be there for you for all of your special life events. So ask one of us at the store how you can special order for your large anniversaries, weddings, birthdays, corporate celebrations, what have you. Thank you so much and have a blessed day. Hey everybody, Stephen Paul Matsumoto. I'm back and we're going to go behind the counter and talk about what it takes to start and run a liquor store in the state of Texas. Now, this is going to be really quick and dirty and at very high level, but I get asked the question all the time by customers and people that I, when I'm out and about networking or making sales calls. So I thought it would be really great to kind of dive into some of the things that we as what are called package stores in Texas go through to open and operate our stores. The first question I get, of course, is how much does it cost to open a liquor store? If you were to open from scratch, I would say you would need anywhere between $150,000 and $200,000. Now, unfortunately, that cannot be credit cards. In the state of Texas, we have to purchase our liquor from the distributors due to the three-tier system with cash or liquid assets. So that means I either have to write a check, wire the money, or they can automatically ETF it or EFT it out of our account. We use a third-party system called FinTech, which most of the distributors are a part of, where they have our banking information, the distributor uploads their invoices, and then either on the last day of the week, or if we have gotten terms with that distributor, it will come out on the 10th or the 25th of the month. And those are the best terms you can get. In the liquor industry in Texas, there is no such thing as net 30 or net 60 or net 90. You have to pay for that liquor within, by the end of the week that you purchased it, write a check for it on the spot, or if you have approved terms with the distributor on the 10th and the 25th of the month. And if a payment does not clear, you go onto the state's credit default list, and then you are COD with every supplier if they choose to continue to do business with you. Because a lot of suppliers have told me, as I've researched other stores to purchase for Juno's, that if they're on the credit default list, they're not going to run the risk of delivering to that customer because they don't want to get in bad with the state. It's all risk management. Now, in terms of what that $150,000 to $200,000 is paying for, well, it's your initial inventory. And for a store of anywhere between 800 to 1,000 square feet, that's $100,000 to stock your shelves. And you got to be really diligent about what you are bringing in, because if you're not selling it, then you won't have the money to make your reorders for the things that you are selling. So we have really tight controls regarding phase in or phase out of new products at our stores. So you have to be process driven. In terms of permit costs, that's going to account for $5,000 to $8,000 of that budget. There are multiple permits you are going to need. The first one is your package store permit from the state, but then you also have to get your permit from the city where your store is located, as well as the county where your store is located. And there are some interesting laws that are still in place that I can't tell you why they exist, but they exist, and we just have to follow them. One of those is that we cannot sell outside of the county where our store is located. So if our store is located in Tarrant County, with Fort Worth, Arlington, what have you, we cannot sell outside of that county. So you would either have to come and pick it up from us, or we would have to open a store in a county where you're located in, which we are attempting to do. We're actually in the process of negotiating a lease on a store in the Irving area. So stay tuned to future episodes to learn more about that. Then you're looking at anywhere from $25,000 to $40,000 for fixtures, depending on the size of your store and the quality of fixtures that you want to have. We are choosing to build a brand. Like I tell you all the time on our podcast, we want to be the Starbucks of liquor stores. So when we retrofit our stores, we want to put a little bit higher in fixtures than the average corner liquor store. We are not trying to be a warehouse store like Specs or Total Wine. We want to be a premium boutique liquor store that offers competitive pricing and excellent customer service. So this is just a real high level. I haven't even gone into marketing budgets. Clearly, we opted to build a brand and use decorated apparel or how we run our rewards program. So I'll look into those in future episodes, but I wanna thank you so much for all of your support. We were able to grow the business 85% in our first quarter versus the first quarter last year, and we could not have done that without our loyal customers. So thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode of If You Juno's, You Know.